Amen. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful time of worship this morning. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to take them out today if you have one. And I hope that you do look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 is where we'll begin this morning. And as you're turning there in your Bibles, I want to just take a moment to direct your attention to the back of your study notes that you received in your bulletin. On the back side, there is some information about Bless Every Home. I introduced this to you last year during, I think it was the very first sermon series that I did last year, about how we can pray, how you can pray specifically by name for your neighbors. And I shared that with you just kind of a brief moment during one of my messages, and several of you went on the website and you registered and you became a light in your community. And I want to take just a moment to explain how everyone can be a part of this wonderful opportunity to pray specifically for your neighbors by name. And all the information is on the back of the study notes. It tells you step by step how to register. And what is amazing is next week when we gather together, I'm going to show you some slides. I'm going to show you how the peninsula, based on the lights that have been signed up in our church, is beginning to really shine all over our area. And so what's amazing about this opportunity is every morning, I've been doing this for about a year now. Every morning I get an email, Monday through Friday, and that email has five of my neighbors by name that I pray for. And so I pray for them, and then I click on a button, I go to the website, and I just click, yes, I prayed for those individuals. And as that happens, hopefully the goal will be, as I pray, that I'll also begin to know them by name. I'll be able to form some type of relationship with them and share the gospel with them eventually one day. But the bottom line is everything starts with prayer, right? Everything starts with prayer. And so let me encourage you to take a few moments today, this afternoon, go on the website, follow the instructions there. And next week, as I said, I'm going to show you some slides and show you some really cool things about this website and about how we as a church can be faithful in praying for our neighbors. And so I encourage you to be a part of Bless Every Home. What's also interesting is I didn't know this at the time that I announced it last year, that the SBC of Virginia has adopted Bless Every Home as one of their major initiatives for 2019. In fact, if you were at the Liberty Baptist Church last November at the annual meeting, that was a big part of the annual meeting, was Bless Every Home and how every church in the Commonwealth of Virginia, who is a part of the SBC of Virginia, can partner together to pray and to make a difference for God's kingdom and God's glory. And so hope that you'll take a moment this afternoon, this week, to sign up to Bless Every Home. Also, last Sunday morning, I preached a message just so timely that God directed our attention to this passage of Scripture in chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. And one of those verses, the end of that passage of Scripture says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And so I preached that message and laid out a few very practical ways that you can be a part of doing what that passage of Scripture says. And then on Wednesday night of this past week at our members meeting, the church took an action to make this passage of Scripture become a reality. And that is that we as a church recognize that there are a number of people in our congregation that are being directly affected by the government shutdown that has now reached 4 weeks. And so what we have done is we have set up a process in order to help, in order to come alongside of those who are directly affected by the government shutdown. And so if that is you, what we want to encourage you to do, if you need some assistance, if you need some help with a mortgage or lights or anything like that, we want to encourage you to see either me or Pastor Dawson or your deacon, your family deacon, and see them, talk to them about the need that is there, and then we will begin the process of confidentially helping you with those needs. And so I'm thankful that we have a church family that is serious about making God's word real. Amen? Amen. Let's praise the Lord for that. Yes. We want to be just not just hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. And so if that's you, if you fall into one of those situations where there is a need and we can't help with the need if we don't know what the need is. And so if that happens to be you, please see me, please see one of your deacons, and we will do what we can to come alongside of you during these days. This morning, we are turning our attention to verses 19 through 24. We're talking about confidence in our great God. You know, sin can rob us. Sin can rob us of God's enjoyment, the enjoyment of knowing God, the enjoyment of God's love. When we get sin in our hearts, we're not as open to the love that God wants us to have. Also, Satan can rob us. Satan can rob us of the love of God. Satan wants to steal the awareness of God's love that he has for us in our lives. Satan wants to fill us with doubts about whether or not God could really love us. He wants to fill us with doubts about whether or not God could really forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. Self can also rob us. Self can rob us of the love of God and the love for one another. But there's another thing that can keep us from enjoying the love of God, and that's what we want to talk about this morning, and that is an accusing heart. An accusing heart. Look at verse 20 very quickly. We're going to read the passage in just a moment. I want to zero in for just a moment on verse 20. It says, "For whenever our heart condemns us," whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. I want to just focus in on that verse today. That's the thought that I want to build this entire message around this morning. I want you to leave here today confident in our great God, so that whenever our hearts begin to condemn us, whenever our hearts begin to accuse us, you can remain confident in God. Look at that passage of Scripture this morning. Beginning in verse 18, John says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before Him. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment." Listen. "This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given to us." Let's pray together. God, thank You so much for giving us Your Word. Lord, I thank You that You allowed Your Word to speak to our hearts. In the past, last week, Lord, so many people have come and talked to me about how they would like to assist and help others who are in need. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us, God, to continue to do that. Continue to be, Lord, those who see the needs and, Lord, do whatever we can to help those who are in need. God, I thank you so much for your word. I pray, God, that your word would speak to our hearts today. God, that we would hear the message, Lord, that you want for us. That, God, you would help us to hear it and, God, to be able to apply it to our lives for your glory and for your name's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. There's three things I want you to see about confidence in our great God. Three things I want you to understand about the confidence that we can have in our great God. Number one, there is confidence in a clear conscience. There's confidence in a clear conscience. He talks here in verses 19 and 20 about a heart that condemns us, or some translations talk about a heart that accuses us. You know, everyone here has a conscience. Everyone here has a conscience. The conscience is God's guilt-producing warning device that he gives to us in order to confront sin. Let me say that again. The conscience is God's guilt-producing warning device given to every person in order to confront sin. You see, in the same way that pain is a physical warning mechanism that your body is hurt. For example, last year about this time, I had plantar fasciitis. Now, I didn't know that I had plantar fasciitis until the bottom of my foot started killing me, all right? The pain in my foot was the warning device, the warning mechanism that God used to tell me that I had plantar fasciitis. Thank the Lord, it's over after 6 months. But anyway, that's what God gives us. He gives us pain in order to show us what physical ailments we have. He also gives us a conscience. It's a spiritual warning mechanism that sends off an alert that shows us that there is danger in our soul. It's kind of like the check engine light that comes on in your car. You know what happens when that check engine light comes on? Hopefully you're going to do something about it. Now, I know some people that drive around with their check engine light, they just think it's a little, you know, pretty light that's on their dashboard there. But when that light comes on, that's a warning sign that something's wrong, something you need to do about it. And when that conscience in your mind goes off, what do you do about your conscience? What do you do? Now let me just make this point very clear. Our conscience operates based on whatever knowledge or belief system that informs it. Our conscience operates based on whatever knowledge or belief system informs it. If the level of moral and spiritual knowledge is drawn from any other source than Scripture, then the conscience will function in response to those false ideas. For example, that's why people say, "Well, how can a person who maybe has an Islamic background, how can they strap a bomb upon themselves and walk into a building and blow somebody up or blow 4,000 people or numbers of people up? How can they do that with a clear conscience?" The answer is because their conscience has been fed by something that's contrary to the Word of God. And so that's why it's so very important that the Word of God is in our hearts. The Word of God is in our minds. We continually feed the Word of God in so that our conscience is informed in the right way. And John says in this passage of Scripture that sometimes we have a condemning heart. And this has the potential to rob us of peace. Other translation talks about an accusing conscience. It's another way of saying a condemning heart is an accusing conscience. You see, sometimes the heart accuses us wrongly. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the answer to that question, who can know it, is God. That's what he says there in John verse number 20. God is greater than our heart. He knows what? Everything. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what is there. I think John may have been thinking about Peter when he wrote this passage of Scripture. You think about Peter. The Bible says after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, he went off and he wept bitterly. He was filled with guilt over what he had just done. No doubt he was filled with remorse and repentance of his sin. But Jesus knew that Peter had repented, and after his resurrection, the Lord sent a very special message to Peter after some of the disciples went in to see the body of Jesus Christ in the grave, and Jesus said, go back, tell my disciples, and especially tell Peter. You see, Peter needed a reassurance. Peter's heart had been condemning him. He knew that he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. But listen, God was greater than his heart. God was greater than his heart. Jesus knows all things. And Jesus gave the assurance to Peter and the confidence for Peter that he needed in his life. And he can do the same thing for you and me. You see, one of the things that happens many times is we'll be praying. I'll be praying, and maybe you've been in these situations before as well. And you're praying to God. Maybe you're asking God to do something in your life, or you're asking God to do something in your family's life, or you're asking God to do something for one of your friends that's here this morning. And that's when Satan starts falsely accusing you. I just wrote down a few things. Maybe Satan says, look at you. What do you think you're doing coming before God asking something from Him? Why, just this past week you did things, you said things that would disqualify you from ever receiving anything from God. Don't you remember that attitude you had yesterday? Don't you remember how angry you got with your children just last week? What about that unclean thought that passed through your mind 3 days ago? You passed someone down that was broken down on the road and you didn't even stop to help them out. And all these accusations start rolling through your mind and rolling through your thoughts, and it beats you down. That's why we need confidence this morning, right? That's why we need the confidence of this passage of Scripture. Listen, whenever those thoughts come into our minds, there's 2 verses of Scripture I want you to remember. The first one's right here. The first one's right here, this passage we just read. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows what? Everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we have kept His commandments and do what pleases Him. Write that verse down. When Satan accuses you, when Satan strikes that conscience and begins to falsely accuse you, remember that verse, and then also remember this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, very simple verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a great passage of Scripture to memorize. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whenever we begin to feel like we are condemned, feel like there's these accusations that Satan keeps throwing up in our faces. He says to us, you shouldn't do that. You've done this in the past or that in the past. We can be reminded this morning that God is faithful. Amen? We can be reminded this morning that God is faithful. Number two, let's be reminded that we can have confidence in answered prayer. Confidence in answered prayer. Verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Listen, underline this. Because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. The word for confidence that is used there in this passage of Scripture literally means boldness. We can have boldness when we come before the Lord. I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. To think that we can come before the God of creation, the one that put everything into place, the one who created everything that we see, and we can come into His presence, listen, with boldness, with confidence. This passage of Scripture, the word confidence describes the privilege of coming before someone of importance, of someone of power, of someone of authority. For believers this morning, if you're a believer this morning, that means that you can come before the presence of our loving Father without fear and with full assurance that He hears every single word we pray. Excuse me for just a moment. They gave me a smaller bottle of water this morning, so shorter sermon, I guess. Subtle little, yeah, teacup's coming. So anyway, what is this passage of Scripture reminding us? It's reminding us that there is a connection between our obedience to God and our prayer life. There's a connection between our obedience to God, a believer's relationship to his brothers and sisters in Christ, cannot be divorced from his prayer life. That's what this passage of Scripture is reminding us. Whatever we ask or receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. These verses do not give us all of the conditions for answered prayer, but they emphasize the importance of obedience. One great secret of answered prayer is obedience. And the secret of obedience is love. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. He also said in John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, I have to make a little side note here and remind us that when we ask, we must ask in the will of God. You see, just because we are obedient to God, sometimes people think, well, this passage of Scripture says if I'm obedient and I've looked at my life, I feel like I'm pretty obedient. Why didn't God answer my prayers? It doesn't mean that we can pray to God and say, God, I've been obedient to you. Now, please heal my sick child. It's not the way it works. Yes, we do need to be obedient to God, but we also need to understand and pray in the will of God for every situation of life. God is sovereign, friends. He is sovereign over all things. Boldness in prayer is therefore a clear evidence of a changed heart. John says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and we do what pleases Him. This passage of Scripture, there's a lot here in this passage about confidence. There's a lot in this passage about abiding in Christ. There's also a lot in this passage of Scripture about making sure that we are following after Christ, that we are being obedient to Him and to His Word. And so maybe this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture, maybe this is an opportunity for you and I to just think about how obedient am I being to God and to His Word? How obedient am I being to God and the things that He has instructed us to do in His Word? There's confidence this morning that we can have before God. Confidence that He is there. Confidence that He hears our prayers. Confidence in answered prayer. And then number three, there is confidence in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 23. And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. This is nothing new, isn't it? It's nothing new. When a scribe asked Jesus one time to name the greatest commandment, do you know what Jesus replied? Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 23 sounds very, very much like that. Verse 23, God says, God gives us one commandment that takes in both God and man. He says, believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Faith towards God and love towards man sum up the Christian obligations. Faith toward God and love toward man are two sides of the same coin. You know, it's easy to emphasize faith. A lot of times people want to emphasize faith. They want to emphasize correct doctrine to the exception of love. On the other hand, some people ignore doctrine or say a doctrine is not very important and they want to emphasize love. But I want you to see this passage of Scripture says that doctrine and love go together. The correct doctrine and the correct love must go together. When a person is justified by faith, he should know that the love of God is being shed abroad in his heart. The two go together. Verse 24, John says, whoever keeps his commandment abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Here John addresses our keeping the commands of God for the fourth time in this section. For the fourth time in this section, he talks about obeying the commands of God. But this time, notice he adds a blessing to it. And the blessing is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And saying that the Spirit has already been given to us, John looks to the past, he looks to our conversion, to the moment that we were first saved, and he says, you have received the Spirit. This is the first time in John's book here that he directly addresses the Holy Spirit. The third person of the triune God is essential to God's abiding in us and our abiding in Him. He is absolutely crucial to helping us in all areas of our life. And next week, when we look at chapter 4, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial when we are trying to discern the false spirits that are around us. But look at that last phrase again. By this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given to us. Notice that phrase, He has given to us. You see the grace of God in that? You see, God saved us by His grace. He forgave us by His grace. He has given us a place in heaven by His grace. And then on top of it all, He has given us the Spirit as a way to confirm His presence in our life. God is so good, isn't He? He has blessed us in so many ways. This passage of Scripture, this whole chapter really, I just want to take a moment to review it. Warren Wiersbe, I love reading some of his books, and Warren Wiersbe talks about the four levels on which a person lives based on this passage of Scripture. If you were to go back to last week and look at verses 11 through 15, the first level on which a person lives is the lowest level. It's Satan's level. And it's a person who practices murder. He talks in there about Cain and how Cain was of the evil one and how he murdered his brother there in verse number 11 and 12. That's the lowest level of a way a person lives. The next level would be hatred. Talks about that in that passage. We read that last week. But hatred in God's sight is the same as murder. A man who lives with hatred is slowly killing himself, not just the other person. Psychiatrists warn that malice and hatred and bitterness cause all types of physical and emotional problems in a person's life. And there are many people who live at that level of hatred. And then there's a third level. He talks about indifference. indifference. It's far better than the first two, I would suspect. A man who has constant hatred in his heart or who murders others proves he has not been born of God. But it is possible to be a Christian and still be indifferent to the needs of others. But it's not ideal. It's not ideal. It's not God's plan for our lives. It's not God's purpose for our lives to see a need that's around us and then close up our hearts to that need. Wiersbe says, a man who murders belongs to the devil like Cain. A man who hates belongs to the world, which is under Satan's control. But a Christian who is indifferent is living for the flesh, which serves Satan's purposes. The fourth level, the highest level, is the level of Christian love. And that's what this whole chapter is about. It's the level of Christian love. And the level of Christian love is where we go to find true joy. It's where we go to find true happiness. It's where we go to find answered prayer. It's where we go to find confidence in our great God. There are many different ways that this passage of Scripture could be preached. One of the ways it can be preached is just a check on our love for one another. This morning, let me ask you, as we close out chapter 3, do you have love for one another? Are you confident in our great God? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for giving us your word this morning. Thank you so much, God, for reminding us this morning of the goodness and the grace that you give to us by your word. God, I pray today that you'd help us to walk in confidence with you. God, to know that you have forgiven us, to know that you have cleansed us, to know, God, that you are able, God, to take away that condemning heart. God, I pray that you'd speak to us even now. God, that you'd help us, Lord, to have love for one another. Lord, help us to abide in Jesus. Help us, Lord, to look to you for all the answers of life. God, thank you so much for the confidence that we can have today. I pray for those who may be here today who do not have that confidence because they've never put their faith and their trust in Jesus alone for salvation. God, may today be the day that they respond to his offer of forgiveness and eternal life. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts right now. That God, we would hear the word that you have for us. And God, that we would respond in obedience to you. For we make this prayer in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this invitation hymn. If God's spoken to your heart today about any decision that you need to make, whether it's to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, whether it's to join our church.